some of us came in smiling today. Some came in maybe worried. Some of you maybe even forgot why you walked into the room till one of our greeters out there welcomed you and snapped you out of your autopilot mode, so many that we get into, and with a warm handshake. But that's all right, because God has always specialized in meeting people exactly where they are. And today, we're opening our hearts to two passages in Scripture that fit together like biscuits and gravy on a cold morning. We'll walk through 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 1 through 7, and then also in Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7, only to discover that God still cares about floating axe heads and anxious hearts. These are the days in life when things sink fast. And they disappear suddenly and kind of leave us somehow standing saying, Lord, was that borrowed? That was borrowed. And what happens now? But the good news is that heaven has stopped listening just because the problem looks small to everybody else. Sometimes God settles a troubled heart, not with thunder and lightning, but with a quiet reminder that He's still near. Amen. And so today's message is going to take us to an ancient riverbank in Israel, barnyard in Australia, or Austria rather, in a darkened village in an Italian countryside. Trust me when I say it all makes sense by the time we're done. But before I do begin this morning, I would like to take a moment to mention something that is happening at this very moment on the National Mall in Washington, D.C. Americans from all 50 states around the corners of the United States are showing up to an event called Rededicate 250. And that name is doing exactly what it says. 250 years for America is a long time for anything to hold together. And if you know your history, you know this company has dropped the axe head in the river countless times. And we are, as a nation, a borrowed tool handed freedom that we didn't earn and a covenant that we don't always honor. And yet, we're still here. We're still standing. That's not policy. That's providence. And those folks aren't on that mall because America is perfect by any means. They're there for the same reason that the young prophet Elisha called out, because something has been slipping in America, and it's time to point to that spot. This isn't political by any means. This is a rededication. And a nation at peace is not a nation without problems. It's a nation that knows where to take them. One nation under God, still reaching, still seeking, and still needing the rededication of its faith and values to one true God. And with that, I've asked one of our elders to pray as a church this morning for us as we join in for the rededication of America. And before he ever sat on an elder's bench, he wore a uniform and stood in most places that never either one of us had to ever go. And there's no one better to lead us in prayer today that America, on her 250th birthday, would bow her knee and return to the one who kept her standing all this time. Dale, would you come up and lead us in prayer this morning?
Can you hear me? All right. Thank you, Eric. Yeah, they can hear me. You know, Eric called me yesterday and said, I'd like you to pray for the country or something like that. And I said, well, sure, I'll do that without thinking. I better find out what this is all about. And I hadn't heard about the 250, you know, the prayer rededicating in Washington, D.C., but I didn't pay that much attention to it, to be honest with you. So I text Eric back and said, hey, what was that you want me to do again? And so he directed me in the right path. But as I looked at this, I jotted down a few things that that kind of hit me when I started searching and seeing what, you know, to say. We live in the greatest country on earth. And why is that? America was founded on the Christian values. In Psalms 33, most of us have read this line in 12. But I want to read, I'm going to go back up to 11 because I think it needs to be said and put in context. The counsel of the Lord stands forever. The plans of His heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. The people He has chosen as His own inheritance. That's us, church, the Christians. We, the Christians of this world, are the light in a dark world. And this rededication today is to call American and Christians back to the founding fathers and the Christian values that we were founded on. We've let things creep in, church, and a little compromise here, a little compromise there, a little not, well, that used to be true. God says it's true, but maybe I don't, you know, that's not my truth. And we as Christians, we're the standard bearer of this. We're the light to the people of this country. And when I say we, I talk to Christians, I'm talking about the whole church. But I guess I better quit there before I get off on a rant. But I do want to pray for this country. And I want to reiterate again, church, we are the light in this world. We're the only thing holding back Satan right now until Jesus comes back. Then He's the light. So, Lord, we lift this nation up to You. We rededicate our lives, our Christian heritage, to be faithful and true to those principles and those values that was founded. God, I ask You to look down on this country. Look down on America. Restore Your church. Restore the people. Bless the people, Lord. And Lord, I pray that the people will understand and search the Scriptures and rededicate their lives to where if sin is need to be repented, it's done. Lord, lead us back to the nation of our founding fathers. And Lord, I ask You and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Dale. And all the church said,
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you again. Thank you again, Dale. I appreciate him so much. And, you know, that's why one of the reasons a prayer of faith loves our veterans. We love our flags. You know, patriotism has got such an odd name in the past years. But I'm proud to be an American. And I know that many of you all are as well. And being a patriot doesn't mean that you're part of any certain political party. It just means that you love your nation and you're willing to stand up for it and serve it the best you can. You know, there's a particular kind of ache that most of us know very well. The feeling that something important sometimes has slipped through your fingers, and sometimes we just don't know how to get it back. It might be your joy, it might be your health, your sense of purpose, your faith, or maybe just the version of yourself that you used to be before life got complicated. And speaking of complicated, you ever notice how problems show up like uninvited guests? They don't knock. They don't call ahead. They just barge in, muddy boots and all. Maybe you've entertained a few of those guests recently. And right about when you're ready to lose your patience, God says something that sounds a little upside down. He says, "Thank me for your problems." Now, that's not exactly our first instinct. Most of us would rather complain or worry or start fixing things that don't need fixing. But God says, no, bring it to me. And bring it with gratitude. And here's the strange part. The second that you start thanking Him, something begins to loosen. Your mind stops chewing on the negative, and the problem doesn't necessarily vanish, but it sure does lose its grip on you. It stops tripping you up, and like that one loose board on the back porch you always keep meaning to fix, because whenever our attention shifts to Him, the problem shrinks. It loses its power, and suddenly, you're not wrestling this thing alone anymore. And then God does what He does best. He shows up and He gives you the next step. Sometimes it's, let's deal with this right now. And other times it's, sit down before you make a bigger mess. And here's the truth that we don't want to admit a lot of times. Most of the stuff tying us in knots isn't even today's trouble. It's tomorrow's. It's the what if. It's the maybe. It's the I hope this doesn't blow up. And God, He looks at all of that borrowed worry and He says, let me take that. And He lifts it right out of your hands and puts it somewhere down the road where you can't stare at it. Not because He's hiding it by any means, but because you and I just don't need to carry it today. And in that empty space, He gives you His peace, real peace, the kind that doesn't depend on everything going right in your life, the kind that flows straight from His presence to you. And that right there is what we're and why we're talking about recovery today. Not the 12-step kind, though God works through that too. But the deep down, supernatural, heaven reaches into your kind of mess kind of recovery. We're going to look at a story so specific and so strange that most people skip right over it when they read the Bible. And we're going to discover that God has hidden a treasure in it. Our primary text this morning, as I mentioned earlier, is 2 Kings 6, 1 through 7, the story of the floating axe head. And before you think that story's too small to matter, let me remind you that Jesus spent an entire afternoon talking about a lost coin, a lost sheep, and a lost son. And God's not in the habit of ignoring small things in our life. He'll take as long as it needs to talk to us about it. You know, the older that I get, the more that I realize that life has a funny way of making small problems feel enormous, especially at 3 o'clock in the morning. Whether it be a squeaky water heater or an unpaid bill or a missing set of keys, that can suddenly almost feel like the collapse of Western civilization in some of y'all's lives. And the Bible never pretends that people are made of steel, because Scripture has showed us worried fishermen, tired prophets, and even frightened disciples, and ordinary people as well, just trying to hold things together one day at a time. That's one reason I love the story of Elisha and the floating axe head. It's not about kings or armies or miracles that shakes nations, but it's about one worried worker who lost something valuable in the river. Now, Elijah prophesied mostly through fire. Fire came down and consumed the altar and so forth. Elisha, his miracles mainly have to do with water. And most of us understand that kind of panic better than we understand the big dramatic miracles when we see what Elisha did today in the story. We know what it's like to lose sleep over something so practical, so personal, and so painfully expensive. And our secondary text is in Philippians 4, 6, and 7, which reminds us to be anxious for nothing. And honestly, that sounds wonderful until the furnace quits in January. Or the doctor says, you know, we need to run another test. Suddenly the sermon gets personal. The prayer lists get longer. And yet Paul doesn't say anxiety disappears because life comes easy. He said that the peace of God comes from the presence of God and it remains. And so that's where we're headed today. We're going to walk beside a riverbank with Elisha and discover that the God who notices the borrowed axe head still notices worried people like you and me sitting in the pews. And so the message today is called Peace for Troubled Waters. And I promise that the title will make sense before we're all done. But first things first, Psalms 150, verse 6 says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. That's not a suggestion. That's a job description for us. And from what I can see out here, everybody, you're still breathing. So let's shout it out to the Father like we mean it. Let everything that has breath. Amen. Amen. Well, let's look at our two passages real quick. 2 Kings in the Old Testament, verses 1 through 7 of chapter 6, 2 Kings 6, 1 through 7, reads like this. Now the sons of the prophets said to Elisha, behold, now the place before you where we are living is too limited for us. Please let us go to the Jordan and each of us take from there a beam and let us make a place there for ourselves where we may live. So he said, go. Verse 3, then one said, please be willing to go with your servants. And he answered, I shall go. So he went with them, and when they came to the Jordan, they cut down trees. Verse 5 says, But as one was falling, a beam, the axe head fell into the water. And he cried out and said, alas, my master, for it was borrowed. And then the man of God said, well, where did it fall? And when he showed him the place, he cut off a stick, threw it in there, and made the iron float. And he said, take it up for yourself. So he put out the hand, and he took it. And then over in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, it reads, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, not just the big things, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Those are from God's word to his children. You know, earlier this year, scientists in Austria became fascinated by a cow named Veronica. Now, when you hear the phrase scientist studying a cow, you already know somebody's tax dollars got adventurous. Well, Veronica, she lived on a peaceful farm near the Italian border, and researchers discovered that this cow had learned to use sticks and brushes as tools to scratch hard-to-reach places on her body. Now, apparently, the cow decided she was tired of waiting around for help and became her own maintenance department. Now, scientists said it was one of the first documented cases of a cow using tools in such a flexible and intelligent way. You see, Veronica would choose different parts of the brush depending on where she needed relief from to scratch. And people around the world, when they heard this story, they just laughed at it. But researchers, they were quite amazed. Why? Because they had underestimated the intelligence and awareness of this gentle animal. One scientist admitted, he said, they had spent years assuming cows were simple creatures. So isn't it interesting how we often underestimate what God has placed in ordinary things, even if it's a cow? Because sometimes the world looks at people, churches, senior citizens, widows, workers, tired saints, and assumes there's just not much left there. But God has always specialized in surprising people with the hidden strength that He gives them. I mean, the Lord once spoke through a donkey, fed a prophet with crows, and now apparently He let a cow remind the world not to underestimate simple things. Never assume that God's finished working just because the world overlooks you. Heaven sees value in you where others just may see the ordinary. And in 2 Kings chapter 6, the company of prophets came to Elisha and he said, the place where they lived has become too small. Now that's a wonderful problem for a ministry to have, because growth means that God's doing something alive among His people. And they decided to build a larger place near the Jordan River. So each man went out to work and took his tool in their hand. You know, there's something beautiful about ordinary people serving together shoulder to shoulder. I mean, when we gather together at the Oklahoma Regional Food Bank each quarter, it's always a joy to know you're helping your fellow Oklahomans while serving with your church family side by side. And then the Bible says that while one man was cutting out down a tree, the axe head flew off the handle and sank into the water. Immediately the man cried out, "Alas, my master, for it was borrowed." Now, I don't know how many of you have ever chopped wood with an axe, but that's one of those things that happens. And that's why my mom always said, stand back away from your dad while he's chopping wood, because you never know. Well, after the axe head flew off the handle, notice the man didn't cry because he lost his lunch or misplaced his sandals. He cried because he lost something that belonged to someone else. And he knew that he didn't have the means to make it right. And you and I know that feeling today. Maybe you borrowed a car that from your neighbor that may be now sitting in a ditch. Or maybe it's the weight of owing somebody that something that you can't pay back. And that hasn't changed for 3,000 years. See, in those days, the iron axe head wasn't something you just went by and picked up at Home Depot or Lowe's on the way home. It was very expensive, hard to come by, and represented kind of a real sacrifice to own one. Now, if you look at that in today's terms, today it may be your credit score, or maybe your health, or your job, or your marriage. Things that took years to build that can disappear in a moment. Things you just can't replace easy. With an quick online order through 2-day shipping on Amazon, you just can't do that. Some losses are not minor inconveniences, they're actually really genuine. They're heavy. They're the keep you up at 3 a.m. burdens. And God takes those very seriously. And Elisha asked a simple question to this fella. He said, "Where'd it fall?" And then he cut a stick and threw it in the water. Simple enough. And by the power of God, that iron axe head floated to the surface. Scripture said that Elisha told the man to reach out and take it for himself. Elisha didn't get excited and run into the water and said, "Look what happened, look what I did, woo," and get it for him. He said, "No, you go in there and you get that axe head. Flew off your handle, you go get it." Now, God performed the miracle of the floating axe head, but the man still had to stretch out his hand and receive what God provided. And there's something deeply human about that phrase in those scriptures we read when it says, it was borrowed. I mean, that sentence kind of carries a little embarrassment, maybe responsibility, and maybe fear at all the same time when you realize that it flew off the handle and is now gone. Most of us know that feeling, of damaging something that we can't afford to lose. And it becomes very valuable to us. Maybe, like I said earlier, you borrowed a car, or maybe you borrowed a tool, or your mother's favorite casserole dish maybe mysteriously cracked while you had it in your care. You know, we've all had things like that. You know, my dad hates loaning things out because there's always something that's broken when he gets it back. And I thought, well, you know, there is that, but you're being kind when you loan it out to others. And so people are kind of hold things close to their chest and not loan things out because they have a feeling that they're not going to get it back the same way they loaned it out. Now, if you're responsible, you'll fulfill your obligation and make it better. A true disciple of Christ leaves things always better than where he found them. But the man in this story, he felt panic. He was rising up in his chest. And one moment he was helping out with all his passion with the work, and the next minute he was staring helplessly into the muddy water from the axe head that flew out. And that is how anxiety enters our lives. Things are moving along normally until something suddenly slips away and sinks right before our eyes. Sometimes it could be our financial security. You watch the stock markets with your 401k nowadays, and it's playing like jumping on a trampoline. One day it's high, next day it's low. It's just up and down. Sometimes it sinks. Sometimes it's our health. Going along one day, and all of a sudden you hear a crack, and all of a sudden you're back. You can't stand up straight anymore. Came out of nowhere. Or maybe it's our confidence has slipped. It's something that we truly believed in. Now we're kind of having doubts. And our peace of mind isn't there like it used to be. In Philippians 4:6, it says, be anxious for nothing but in prayer and supplication. What's prayer? What's the difference between prayer and supplication? Prayer is when you pray for the whole, like America, like Dale did today. Supplication is when you make it personal and pray for things that are affecting your life. With thanksgiving, never forget to thank God for what He's brought you and from where He's brought you. Because He's blessed you and I, along with this great nation of America, with so many things. If you have a nickel in your pocket, you're one of the, among the richest people in the world, according to others throughout the world. Paul's not dismissing our worries. He says, let your request be made known to God. Paul isn't dismissing our worries, but he's rather redirecting them toward the throne of grace. The man by the river did exactly that. He cried out for help instead of pretending everything's fine. Whoop! Maybe they won't notice it fell in the river. I think I'll go back to the cabin for lunch. No, he cried out because God notices small problems. One of the sweetest truths in this passage is that God cared about a missing axe head. I mean, you and I probably pray when we lose our keys or our wallet or purse. Lord, help me find it, please. He hears those prayers. I mean, the miracle seems almost too small for the pages of Scripture and for such a great prophet of God of Elisha. We expect miracles involving armies being, you know, the children of Israel armies being defeated or defeating armies of hundreds of thousands of men or storms or fires sent from heaven like Elijah did. But instead, God pauses to help a working man recover a borrowed tool from a river. And so that tells me the Lord pays attention to details that we often think many times are beneath His notice. Because if it matters to His children, it matters to Him.
Some people even hesitate to pray about everyday concerns because they think that, you know, God's just too busy running the universe. Yet Jesus taught you and me to pray for daily bread, which means heaven cares about ordinary things. God's never irritated by your prayers. He's not exhausted by your questions, and He's definitely not annoyed by the tears you shed. Sometimes people say, well, I shouldn't bother God with something this small. Listen, church family, if it's small enough to steal your peace, it's large enough to bring before the Lord. I'm going to say that one more time. If it's large enough to steal your peace, then it's large enough to bring before the Lord. Because so many times, we often forget that the Savior who calmed the storms also stopped to notice the blind beggars, the lonely widows, and the frightened children. God has never measured problems by size, but instead the pain that caused His people. So Elijah asked where the axe head fell, and then he cut a stick and throws it into the water. Sounds simple enough until you remember first that iron doesn't float. So God always delights in doing things that defy ordinary expectations. Why? Because the laws of nature still answer to the Creator who established them. Imagine the faces of those young prophets just watching that iron rise from the bottom of the river. One minute they're staring at loss and shaking their heads at the poor fellow, and the next minute they're witnessing a restoration. The same goes with God's children. Let's be honest. Sometimes you and I, we shake our head at people and the mess they've got themselves into. And then when God restores them and heals them and brings them back up, we're amazed. Sometimes we forget how quickly God can change the situation. Because we'll spend days worrying over something that heaven can just solve in a moment, in the blink of an eye. And that doesn't mean every problem disappears instantly. But it does mean that despair never gets the final word. Because God can still bring hope to the surface, even if everything else seems buried. And I love the fact that Elisha didn't lecture the man before helping him. He didn't say, well, you know, if you would have been more careful, this thing wouldn't have happened. Aren't you thankful that God sometimes helps us, even when the problem was partially our fault? If mercy only came to perfect people, then every church in America would be empty by next Sunday. I guarantee you. And that's why when the Apostle Paul wrote the book of Philippians, while facing hardship and uncertainty himself, knew the truth of God's mercy. But yet from the difficult place that he was writing that book came one of the Bible's greatest promises about peace. Kisha held a Bible study for our young adults last week, and, you know, it's surprising. Everybody has things that worry us, that cause anxiety in our lives. But she gave a lesson over Philippians 4, 6, and 7. And, you know, when Paul says, be anxious for nothing, which sounds impossible until you keep reading that verse, sometimes you got to read Scripture more than just one time. But the secret is not pretending that worries do not exist, but bringing everything to God in prayer. Not just hoping He'll take care of it, but literally bringing it to Him in prayer. Because listen to this, isolation or anxiety grows in isolation. But peace grows in conversation with God. Paul says, prayer, supplication, thanksgiving work together. In other words, we talk honestly with God and ask specifically for help and remember gratefully what He's already done in our lives. Because thanksgiving changes the atmosphere of our heart.
When we start thanking God for all the things that He's done for us, that He's given us, that He provides for us, that He protects us, that He just does all of these wonderful blessings upon His children, it seems that that problem that we're going through and bringing it to Him doesn't seem as large as the things we thank Him for. Fear keeps saying, what if everything falls apart? While gratitude says, God has carried me before. And I've known by talking with a few of you, and a few of you testifying before your church family, that that has come true in your life. Fear of saying, what if everything falls apart? What if this operation doesn't work? What if the surgeons find something else? What if this, you'll never win the what if game. But when you come to God and say, He has carried through me, He has carried me through times before, it settles your heart. And then if you read Philippians 4:7, there comes that promise, that beautiful promise, that the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. What's that mean? We just can't fathom it. We don't know. It just calms us. It surpasses all understanding. We'll guard our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The word guard there paints a picture of soldiers standing watch over the city. And that's what He does to your mind. He will guard your mind. God's peace that stands guard over troubled hearts like a night watchman who refuses to let fear break through the gate. That's good news for people whose minds, like yours and mine, tend to wander into dark places after midnight. You know, worry has a very loud voice. Would you agree? And worry is strange because it can take tiny problems and make them sound enormous. I mean, one loose button and your brain starts writing a disaster movie. And many seasoned saints will tell you that nighttime is when worries become especially noisy. Why? Because during the day, there's conversations, there's television programs, there's errands, but nighttime has a way of amplifying fear. I mean, some of us just don't understand why it does, but it just does. It's quiet. And that's why Scripture repeatedly reminds us to cast our cares upon the Lord. God never intended for you and I to carry our burdens alone. I mean, some of us have spent years carrying things that God has invited us to release. We hold on to fear like an overloaded suitcase at an airport. While the Lord keeps offering to help, I'll take it from you. Because it's kind of weird, but there's a gentle humor in realizing how often we tend to panic before we pray. I mean, think about it. We panic before we pray. We'll call three relatives, search the internet for 45 minutes, and reorganize the garage before finally saying, well, maybe I should ask God about this. Yet the Lord, He remains patient because He knows your, mine, our human hearts are prone to fear. You know, in my walk with Christ, I've discovered that peace isn't the absence of storms, but the presence of Christ in the middle of them. Peter, walking on water, was the prime example of that. When Peter wanted to go out to Jesus, he didn't tell the thunder, lightning, and wind to calm down. I got one of my disciples coming out to me. He just said, come on out here. Even when waters run deep, God hasn't abandoned you or I. All we have to do is to reach out and take His peace. After the axe head floated, Elisha told the man, take it up. The miracle was provided, but the man still had to reach out and take it. And sometimes God provides places of help within our reach, but yet our fear keeps us frozen on the shoreline. Listen, so many believers have peace, God's peace, lying in bookshelves along their house like a knick-knack
bookshelf. Peace, it's just up there. But yet they've never reached out to take it from the shelf. Because faith often realizes and needs us and requires us to stretch out our trembling hands. Maybe God has been offering you peace, but you keep rehearsing panic over and over instead. And maybe He's opened the doors of healing for you, forgiveness or restoration. But anxiety, it keeps whispering, what if it fails? What if it fails? What if it fails? And it gets louder. I mean, the man could have stood there debating whether iron really floats or not, but instead he obeys quickly from what the prophet told him, and he took hold of the miracle. How many times do you or I talk ourselves out of a miracle? I mean, the altar calls we give here each Sunday are for us to reach out to those who love you, to care for you, to pray with you, to listen to you. Jen and Veda aren't up here just to scan the audience, just to see how people are reacting. They're here to pray with you, to love on you, to listen to you, to anoint you if you want it. They're here for you to affirm your faith in what the Holy Spirit is leading you and I to do. Stepping out in faith is just the first part. Because there comes a moment when we have to stop staring at the water and start trusting in God's provision. Faith, it's not always loud and dramatic. Sometimes it's just simply reaching out one more time. I imagine that worker returned to chopping wood with a grateful heart and a tighter grip on the handle. Because nothing makes you appreciate recovery like almost losing something valuable. Some of you have survived sickness, grief, hardship, financial hardship, or loneliness. And now we have and treasure just simple blessings God gives us in a different way. We understand that ordinary days are gifts from God. Because God still floats ordinary things. You know, the older saints back in the day used to say, God can make a way where there seems no way. That may sound old-fashioned, but hey, it's life has a habit of proving that very saying true. And God still lifts heavy hearts and broken relationships and strengthens weary souls. The rivers in your life and my life may look deep, but heaven looks deeper still. Some people are here today and you may still feel like you're sinking under grief. Others may be carrying some financial pressure or family struggles or perhaps concerns that they really don't want to discuss aloud. Hear this clearly, church. God's not forgotten you in the water. The Lord, who noticed one worried worker standing beside a river, still notices hurting people today. And from hospitals to quiet living rooms. Sometimes the miracle arrives dramatically. And sometimes they arrive quietly through peace that maybe just steadies your soul. Either way, God remains faithful to His Word. And I've learned that God often gives enough strength for the next step instead of for the entire journey. The Lord tends to hand out headlights instead of spotlights or floodlights. But headlights are enough to get you home if you keep moving forward. One prayer, one day, one act of trust at a time. And so, in seeing the light that He provides for you and I want to close with a real news story out of Italy, because sometimes the world actually preaches better sometimes than we plan to. But back in late May 11th of 2024, oh, you guys are not ready yet. I'll call you up here.
On May 11th in 2024, a powerful storm rolled through a small Italian village and knocked out every light in the town. And no street lights, there were no signs lit up, there were no glowing windows, it was just all complete darkness. And the sound of people stepping outside in frustration to figure out what went wrong, why it happened, why are we without power. And as their eyes begin to adjust, as the irritation in their lives settled just down long enough for the people to actually look up, they saw something that they, most of them, hadn't seen in years, if any of them has ever seen in their life. The storm had scrubbed the sky so clean that the Milky Way was blazing overhead and like it owned the entire place. People gasped, and neighbors, they hollered across fences. Phones came out, not to file complaints, but to take beautiful pictures of that Milky Way galaxy. One of the residents told news reporters, they said, "I haven't been able to shake this thing since I saw it, because we lost the lights we made and saw the ones God made up in the heavens." Now, the power didn't come back on immediately. As they were looking at the Milky Way galaxy, problems didn't disappear. Nothing was fixed right away. But something in them shifted from that which was broken to what was breathtaking. And peace settled over that village like a soft blanket on a cool night. And here's the takeaway from that story. Anxiety has a tendency to say in your life and mine that lights are out and everything's wrong. Peace says that maybe the lights went out so you'd finally stop staring at the ground long enough to look up. The storm didn't steal anything from that village that actually really mattered. It just cleared away the noise long enough for people to see what had been there the whole entire time. That's Philippians 4, 6, and 7 in a power outage. To be anxious for nothing, not because nothing is wrong, but because the one who hung those stars above is not the least bit worried about your electricity bill. Remember the beauty of our passage this morning in 2 Kings 6. A worried man cried out, a prophet prayed, and God made iron float. This miracle teaches us that nothing's too heavy for God and nothing's too small for His attention. Heaven still notices our anxious hearts standing beside those deep waters. You've heard our church family even come up to testify about what they've went through, the journey they've went through, and how God has provided for them. Heaven still notices that. Philippians reminds us not to live chained to worry, but rather to be anchored in prayer. Peace doesn't come from having everything controlled in your life. Having enough toilet paper to last you for the next 5 years. Having enough water to supply you if we have a major outage or whatnot. Some of us need to quit replaying these fearful thoughts over and over and start repeating God's promises. Because fear says, what if? But faith says, even if, God will still be faithful. Maybe you walked in today with a lot of burdens hanging around your neck and no one else can see. Maybe your smile has been stronger than your spirit lately. We have a tendency to do that. Well, today the Lord invites you to lay those concerns before Him. You don't have to carry everything alone. Galatians 6 talks about this. Share your burdens. The same God who floated iron on the Jordan River can steady your heart in that present moment, because His peace is available for tired people who are willing to trust Him. Now you guys can come up to the stage. Well, listen, if anxiety has been stealing your sleep, your joy, or your peace, I want you to know that today our altar will be open for you. Not after the song, not after you get yourself together, not after you've mustered enough
bravery to walk up to the altar, but exactly right now, exactly where you are. You know, there's no shame in admitting that we need help. Because the bravest thing some people can do some days is to simply stand up and walk forward. Our prayer counselors will be here. They've heard it all, so you're not going to surprise them with anything. Maybe you're carrying grief that's been on your back so long you've forgotten what it feels like to walk without it. Maybe it's your health. Maybe it's your family, your finances, or maybe you just feel like the future is coming off the rails. And that's why we prayed this morning for America. Just bring it, all of it. Because here's the thing about God. He's not standing at the door with a list of your offenses and my offenses. He's standing at the door. That's it. He welcomes returning hearts every single time. And sometimes the first step toward peace is literally just a step out of the seat where fear has kept you parked. And you step out in peace toward the one who's been waiting on you. That's the whole move. So church family, let's be gentle with each other right now. We never know how close the person beside us is to the edge. Pray like it matters, because it does. And if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, today is as good a day as any to change that. Come as you are. He already knows what you've been carrying. He's been watching you carry it. And He's ready right now to do something about it. Let's pray. Father, thank You for caring about every detail of our life. No burden's too small, no heart's too anxious, no problem is too heavy for Your hands. So help us to quiet our fears and strengthen our faith and become a people who pray first instead of panic first. Strengthen us as the great nation of America to look up to You. During troubled waters, to rededicate our lives, to bring us back to You, and to lift us from the murky depths in which we have fallen. Because when worries tend to rise in our life like deep waters, remind us that You are steadier than all of it, and You are closer than what we really think. And let us be a people who carry hope to each other in a world that's running really, really low on it. And Lord, when something precious sinks beneath the surface in our life and we don't know how to get it back, let us come to You. Remind us that You still work miracles beside troubled rivers. You lifted iron once, and You can lift whatever this is. So we trust You. In Jesus' name we pray. And all the church said, Amen. Thank you.